Yeah, I want to talk about spiritual gifting this morning from 1 Corinthians 12, 1, 4 to 11. But before we do that, I want to jog your memories. Can you recall, friends, when your father or any relative or friend surprised you with a gift? We all love gifts, don't we? And especially at birthdays, Christmas, and on other occasions. I remember my childhood when I was 6 or 7, that my father was one of those guys, he was an engineer, that he could make anything out of nothing, you know. And he would bring me a gift on those occasions and on other occasions. And it was always a surprise. I distinctly remember one year, he brought me this scooter. And it was completely made of wood, even the wheels. And he tailor-made it for me. He'd fashioned it for me. You know what? That's how God is. He fashions our gifting for us. It's like putting on a lovely coat and you think, oh, this is great. The early church experienced a surprise gift at Pentecost. The giver and his gifts. God's gift to the world is the gift of his Son, John 3:16. The Father's gift to the Son is the church you gave them to me, John 17:6. Thirdly, Christ's gift to the church, which is his body, including us, is the Holy Spirit he has received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33. For God's gift to the believer, to you and me again, and make it personal, is eternal life, Romans 6:23. Fifthly, Christ's gifts, grace gifts to the church, are the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 11. And number six, Christ's throne gifts to his church are the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:8 to 13, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For equipping the saints, that's you and me. Seventhly, the Father's gift to the Son are the kingdoms of this world, Revelation 11:5. Can you see, folks, today, how the Trinity, the three in one, works together in giving? Their heart is always giving. They've lavished on the church such profusion of generous gifts to build us up. Are you grateful? I'll tell you for one, I'm eternally grateful. Not just for salvation, but what God has continuously given. And we should be a fellowship. We've just heard what was going on about mosquito nets. Having experienced them at first hand for many years in India, it's a right buzz, I can tell you, at middle at night when they're buzzing around trying to get in to sting you. Spiritual gifts. I realise that there have been many controversies over spiritual gifts throughout church history. Spiritual gifts are not something remote from a bygone age. Neither are they reserved for a few spiritual giants or preachers or missionaries in foreign lands. The New Testament reveals the gifts as part of the spiritual equipment for normal Christian living for believers throughout all ages until Christ returns. See if I can get this on. Ah, here we are. This is the text. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know, Christians can be ignorant just like ordinary people. And we don't want to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were pagans, and he's referring to the Corinthians here, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men, and I'll add, and women. Don't forget the ladies. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. What for? Is it just for you? No. for the common good to all. For to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit. Notice that's plural. It's the only one what's got a double plural in. To another miraculous gifts, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives to each one just as he determines. There are three other places in the New Testament that major on this, and it's in Romans 12, 4-8, Ephesians 4, 10-12, and 1 Peter, the grace gifts, 1 Peter 4, 10-11. I realise that this is a vast subject. I could produce 30 sermons out of this, and several for each one. And I've heard them over the past 45 years, 50 years. I've heard people preach on different ones. You can't preach on the whole lot, so I just give a small overview. But I have chosen one, and I think it's right. I'll keep you guessing which it is. It is a vast subject, but I'm looking at one segment and portion to do it justice today. I've got three headings: the person, the purpose, and the power. The New Testament reveals the gifts as part of spiritual equipment for normal Christian living for believers throughout all ages until he returns. Who's normal here? Anyone? I'm not in a nut house, am I? You know, of course you're normal, aren't you? Oh dear. The person. I believe the gifts are tools for equipping us as part of the body of Christ for normal Christian living, and it's given by the Holy Spirit in this context. Now, I've been in churches throughout 50 years that meant some are what we call that they've put them on the shelf. And when the canon of scripture around 400 AD was given, they said, we don't need spiritual gifts now. We call them cessationists. You know what? They haven't studied church history. I studied church history from a lot of theologians for a number of years. And everyone had revivals without fail. You've got revivals in Old Testament. There's at least a dozen that brought Israel back to God. And if a revival brings people back to God and into the kingdom, boy, do we need them today. I've been praying for revival for the last 2 years. I want revival to come to this church because God pours out his Spirit and wonderful things happen. And it's a sight to behold. Oh, it's brilliant. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I wrote a sermon on this. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to what? Those who ask him. How much more? God's waiting. He's the how much more. A lot more than what we are. He's waiting to give good gifts to his children. Are you getting that? Do you realise that? Is it sinking in? That's Luke 11:13. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James 1:17. Get to know the giver. He has been sent to dwell within you. If you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit today, I'm not talking about salvation now, and justification and all that. I'm talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit to reside in us. You know, folks, I'll use a governmental term. The Holy Spirit is the minister to the interior. And boy, could our government and Boris Karloff, he could do me a dose of it after performance he's done with that young woman. If he's going to be prime minister, God help us. Purpose number two. the importance of knowing your personal spiritual gift. Hey, it's important, this, folks. We've got to get God's ear on it, and you've got to do something about it. If you don't know what your gifting is today, then, hey, that's okay. But Father's waiting. He's waiting to give you a gift. Every person in here should have one single gift that God has given generously, and several. I've experienced, not because I'm bragging, but I've experienced several spiritual gifts because I've needed them in certain things what have been happening. And I've had to ask God to give me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. I've had to ask him for faith to produce a result, and especially through healing, bodily healing. Right. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ, according to God's grace within the context of the body. Spiritual gifts are of such great value to the Christian, he simply cannot afford to be ignorant in this matter. Knowing your spiritual gift or gifts will enable you to find your place in the local church. Proverbs 18:6 says this: a man or woman's gift makes room for them and sends them to high places. Whew, I like it. I like it. If that's true, then we're onto something here. There are many ways to serve in church, and I'm not bullying you up, but thanks for your worship. There's gifting there. I see it. You've took us into that place. We need to keep in a mode of worship, even when I'm speaking. We need to be still worshiping Jesus. The words have spoken to me. God has spoken already. Already. If you listen to the melodies, if you listen to the lyrics, God's speaking. In that one song is said, the name of Jesus is above every name. He is the centre of all things. He's talking about the character of Christ. He's already speaking to us. This is him to whom we have to do. There are many ways to serve in the church. All are necessary and useful. But here in the context, which is specific and personal, in this we surely don't want to be just a spectator and miss the joy of being actively involved in ministry and of seeing God work through each one in the exercise of their spiritual gift. I can tell you, it's an absolute thrill. You can stand aside and see God operate if you're submitted enough on that score. Who wants to be a spectator for the next 20 years or in this church? I can't see anybody wanting that. We're not going to a football match and sitting here like a dummy and watching a game. We want to be participants. Amen. Active, proactive. Amen. Amen. There are so many things God is waiting today, folks, and I believe this will be a turning point for some people. He's waiting to give you gifts. Are you ready to receive them in your heart? You know that. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. He may give you a gift, but you know that gift? You don't keep it. You give that gift away to somebody who needs it. Pauline's sick. I pray for her in the gift of healing. I give her that gift. She gets healed. Somebody over here needs another problem solving. Ask God for faith. And faith comes, as it comes by hearing the word of God. Put that word of God into practice. I've got faith. Lay hands on, there you are. There's movement in spiritual gifts, in the body, all the time. It's never static. God the Father's working, the Holy Spirit's working, certainly Jesus is still working. The scripture tells us so. I don't want to get left behind. I don't want the boat going out of the harbour when God is doing something here and he's moving amongst us. We want to be on that boat or whatever it is. Amen. And we want to be equipped for the task. And this is what spiritual gifting is about. God wants to equip you not with grey matter, not with intelligence, Now, I can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. This is spiritual. It's of God. No, you can't. Without him, Jesus said in John 15, you can do nothing. Zilch. Zero. Oh, God, come down upon me. Work through me. My favourite author for a number of years, and I studied him, was Watchman Nee. No T. Sheng. Died in 1972. And an old friend of mine who was going to be with the Lord told us that in 1968, he steered his wheels into Wales, to North Wales, actually. Morris Smith, they call him. He was born in 5555. How about that? I bet you remember your date of your salvation. Hey?
Saved in 5.
He was saved. Yeah, we were born again, yeah. They try and catch you out, these women, you see, but I'm a bit smarter. Anyhow, Morris steered his wheels, pulled up at this village, went in, and he said, is there a Mr. Jones here in this village? And the baker fell over laughing. He says, yes, there's only 10 of them. There's the baker, he's the baker, Mr. Jones. There's the butcher, Mr. Jones. And he said, well, he was in China. Oh, go straight onto this terrace. End house is in there. So Morris goes on, knocks on the door. This guy came out, former missionary to China, and he says to him, you were Mr. Jones over in China with Watchman Nee. Oh, he said, yes. Come into the parlour. And in he goes. And he said, well, what happened? Oh, he said, it was terrible. The Chinese staked us all out and had a tap above, Chinese water torture, dripping between my eyes all the time. They couldn't sleep with it. Drip, 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 drip. And I said, what happened? This is, I went as nutty as a fruitcake. He said, but you're all right now, aren't you? He said, yes. He said, what about Watchman Nee? He said, they put him in a separate cell. But every morning when the sun rise, you could hear him singing the praises of God. He'd been tortured. He was there 20 years. And he says, they were fantastic. So I said, how did it come about? He says, I looked around at other missionaries and they were contorting the faces, trying to fight it. And it wasn't doing any good. So I said to the Lord, well, I'll obey you, Lord. You can bring me out of this. I submit to you this very minute. And he went into a deep sleep. When he woke up, they released him. And he was perfectly sound because he'd obeyed God and said, I can get through this with you, Lord. And he did. And Watchman Morris said to this bloke, well, that's fantastic. Thanks for confirming about him. And I always remember him going that story. Okay. Number three, power. Power! Power to all my friends. Scripture tells us eagerly to desire the greater gifts. Somebody said to me, John, what's the greater gifts? I said, well, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gift, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, why would he pick that little gift out for a higher gift? I think it certainly is one of the higher gifts because it's edifying to the church. It builds the church up, it comforts the church, and it strengthens the church. I'm not saying the other gifts don't do that. They probably do. But specifically, the prophetic gift does. It's different from the Old Testament prophets. The gift of prophecy in the New Testament is not one of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, John the Baptist even. He was the last of the old type prophets. There were the writing prophets as well. We don't want to add anything to Scripture. It'd be a sin. No, it's simple. It's a simple prophetic gift. And it strengthens and builds people up and comforts them. And I'm going to keep to those three things. Now, if that gift develops into a real prophetic gift of not Old Testament-like, but New Testament, you'll know that it's a weightier gift. You may have to wait to develop that. Generally, a gift to be developed is used to that person over and over again. and they move into it in a mature way. But it takes time. Prophecy is a revelation gift designed to make things clear and therefore specific. Delivering prophecies is important. Now, in the old authorised version, the King James Version, there was a word called unction. It's an old-fashioned word, but what it simply means is prophet, priest and kings required unction. It's the symbol of oil. Samuel was anointed with a horn of oil. He anointed David with a horn of oil and poured it on him. That's unction. I want you to repeat after me. I need unction to function.
Unction to function.
I remember that phrase when you're in a situation and say, Lord, I do need unction to function. It's comical, but it's absolutely true. You can lean on it. And I said, I need unction to function. Benny Hinn used to get out and Ben say, good morning, Holy Spirit. People thought he were nuts. He wasn't. I read his life story, his background. He was a Greek living in Israel. And he slowly, after Catherine Coleman's ministry, she laid hands on him. For 3 days, he was in Wonderland. He was in his flat, single man at the time. He was so dizzy, he kept falling on bed. And it was because God was anointing him. He was giving him unction to function. 10,000 people were in his church at Finnish. He took it to the extreme and started being a showman, a bit like Catherine Coleman. He'd take his coat off and go like that, and people would go down like dominoes. And his fellow ministers said to him, Benny, you've got to start cutting that down a little bit. We want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to get into showmanship. He must have thought he were Hugh Jackman in the great, whatever they call it, showman. Let me suggest some areas of practical benefit. We should make use of our spiritual gifts. We should make them a priority in our lives. I mean it. Spiritual gifting is a priority in a Christian's life. If you put it on a back burner, then God won't use you. Paul to Timothy, twice. The war is now over. Twice, Paul says to Timothy, fan the flame that's been put within you through the laying on of the presbytery. Stir up, in 1 Timothy, the gift that is within you. He was a young man, about 20, so we can let him off the hook, but he did stir it up at Finnish and became a great pastor. And I believe today, folks, there's folks here who's been given a gift. Father, don't miss people out, but you're not using it. And God wants you to use it. Fan the flame. Take it off the back burner. God will let you know if you're open to it. This is all about the openness. Open your heart to it, to receive and move in it. It will be of a great help in discerning God's will, i.e. in ministering to others in the body, in the church and outside, knowing like Jesus what the Father is doing, John 5:19. There are gifts which overlap in function. I call it working in tandem. E.g., wisdom and knowledge, faith and healings, tongues and interpretation, just to mention 6. There are others. Spiritual gifts intertwine the divine and the human. This is where we partake of the divine nature through his divine power as granted to us life and godliness. He's granted everything for us for this Christian life here on earth now. And if you want to look at that, it's 2 Peter 1:3-4. I dwelt on that for a year. I took it to pieces in Greek, backwards, everything I could nail down on information on 2 Peter, particularly on this verse. And I came up with a lot of things that's helped me, that somehow we move into the divine. God draws us into it. And power comes. And godliness, which is holiness, comes. God is looking for those things. You know, when these things happen, one of the things is holiness. We can't afford to put that on. God uses holy vessels. Not full of holes, but holy. Like Jesus. It will be a great help. Spiritual gifts produce unity through their diversity. The spiritual gifts, 9 of them enumerated in this, and several others in Romans and 1 Peter. Now, it produces, in its diversity, a oneness, because they're all given. Why whom? The one Holy Spirit, folks. The one Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost. And you know what? I believe I had a mini Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit, a year after I was converted, in the late 60s, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit that I can take. I could call it baptism in the Spirit, filling with the Spirit. Some people don't like those terms. They're clearly in the Bible. Yeah. I believe that you may need that second experience. Now, I know people, including Pauline, who was converted with tears running down her eyes, but also felt the Holy Spirit come on her. Baptism in the Spirit happened together. Now, I feel thousands of Christians I've met, very few. One bloke says, oh, it was a couple of years and I went to this meeting and got filled with the Spirit. You know, these things happen like that if you're expecting them. You have to have an expectancy and a hope, open heart for this kind of thing. I tell you what, you'll grow, you'll benefit, you'll move in whatever God's given you, and it'll be thrilling. This life seems to sail away when that happens. It's tremendous. Why? Because it's God, it's Jesus coming to his people and revitalizing. No wonder the Old Testament prophets, particularly in Isaiah, Ezekiel, rend the heavens and come down and visit us. Matthew 22, the Jews, they did not know the time of God's visitation. Jesus had come to them and he wept over Jerusalem and said, I would draw you like a hen that draws in the chicks and you refuse me. And now I'll go to another nation, the Gentiles. You know, you and I are fortunate. The Jews turned him down. We haven't. And so we've been blessed. Thank God for St. Paul coming to the Gentiles. Thousands came into the kingdom. About 150 years ago in London, there was a move to pray for Jews, particularly in England, but in Israel, as they were slowly coming back to the Holy Land. And it was a mission to the Jews, that's what they called it. And I was fumbling through my documents, and I found this old paper. God, it looked like 1898. I nearly threw it away. And it tells you what they believed and how to pray for God's original people. And it's a real tearjerker. Those people have given... It's still going on. I'm not sure where the headquarters has moved since then. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Personal prophecy to a single person or to several people. You may get words for them. It may be a couple of words. Praise God. You know what? I know people who started at meetings, big meetings, women who just, the timing was so precise in it that a friend of ours, his wife, used to just say, step forward like that, looking up. So you were looking at Jesus. He was stood up because Stephen were there. And praise God, you know the meeting went. You could feel the wind shoot over. And that was an old timer who came to us and he joined my group. He was about, he must have been 80 then, Jack. And Jack's favourite word in the middle of a meeting, it was quite rude sometimes, would go, ah, praise God. And somebody said, Jack, not just now, he's talking. But he was a little bit ignorant in his old age. But that's what he started with. Well, can a gifting start with praise? Yes, it can. If you're open and more words begin to come. That's how I started. I did it in fear and trembling and stuttering. It wouldn't bother me like that now. I wouldn't be stood here if it did. Timing's perfect. First of all, to a single person or several, our motive should always be in love. Love is the oil that oils these wings of every ministry. Your motive should be love to bless that person. Not pointing fingers, thou shalt not. We're not in Old Testament. And if you do that, you're using your gifting wrong. It's dangerous. It's to build up people. You have to encourage the person. Be very careful of predictive prophecy. What I mean by that is, we've had several people over the years, I've seen them, ladies who couldn't conceive, and somebody's come in and said, you're going to have a baby on 9th of November. Oh! And it's never occurred. And what that does, it's a disaster. It puts people off the prophetic gift. It hurts the person who's trying to receive it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who were into predicting. And I've predicted a few things. But it's something that you have to be close to the Lord at that time. And direction and timing is so important in this. If you mistime it, and it's a directional thing, it can be a disaster. Thirdly, not correctional. Don't start correcting people through your gift of prophecy. No, don't. It's not your place to do that. You're misusing the gift. It can be destructive and disappointing for the person who's on the receiving end. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Romans 12, verse 6. It's tempting, folks, to elaborate on prophecy you are given with irrelevant details that come out of our imaginations. Stop speaking when you've said all that the Holy Spirit has given you, full stop. Don't go beyond that. You're going to do some damage. We have to wait and mature before we give weightier messages. And this only comes when we really walk close to God. We need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, especially in meetings and watching. You become a watchman when you have a predictive, a prophecy gift. You listen and see how the meeting's going. Which way is it flowing? Because if you don't do that, you could be like a bull in a china shop and it could hurt some people. And we don't want that to happen. The promptings of the Holy Spirit, prophecy bubbles up sometimes. Did you know that? The word nabi, a Hebrew word for prophet, it used to be seer a few hundred years before that, and you saw something. And it talks about bubbling up within, that God is stirring up something. Well, we, in the modern times, we've got the Holy Spirit that does that sometimes. And I'm going to listen to that. And that bubbling up comes, and then it points to a person. And I say, yeah, I need to tell this person at the right time. And you gently go in love and speak to that person. It builds them up, it makes them stronger, it edifies them, and it comforts them. Keep to the big three. This is really the points from what I've said, and there are challenges there for us. The gifts are part of spiritual equipment for normal living, and I'm repeating myself there, throughout all ages until Christ return. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to ask him? Earnestly desire the gifts. Spiritual gifts are of such great practical value to the Christian, he simply cannot afford to be ignorant in this matter. It will be a great help in discerning God's will, that is ministering to others in the body. Knowing like Jesus what the Father is doing. Stir up the gift within you. Begin to use it. We give away our gifts to others in love as we minister to them. Let us seek to have an appropriate response to all the spiritual gifts. is biblically proper. Now, I've finished speaking there and I've done well. There are various groupings over these gifts, and they overlap and they work in tandem sometimes. Have I got that on here? Hang on. At the top, word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, prophecy, discerning of spirits, various kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, faith, the gifts of healings, workings of miraculous powers. Below are your instructions. Now, I want you to divide into three or fours. Just move your chairs round. Introduce yourself if you don't know anyone. Share needs, ministry and input from others in your group. One person in each group to minister in turn. Have an open heart to all the gifts. You may begin to operate as the Holy Spirit sees fit. So if you can just, you may not be used to doing this. Hey, don't worry about it. Just move into a gift, three or four. I want you to be open. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And if you get a specific word for another person in that group, then gently tell them. That's all you have to do. This is a beginning for a lot of people. You know, or is it the end of the beginning? Or is it the beginning of the end? Winston Churchill. It's all right. I was there when he was saying it. Okay, go. Okay, I'm going to pray right now. Father, we pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Move amongst us. Stir up people's gifting. Bless other people, Lord, through them right now. We begin in small beginnings today. But, Lord, I just pray that you will come on people. You'll bubble up from inside. And you'll give them several words to start with. In Jesus' name. Amen.